You're listening to Humanities Connection, a production of WFDU-FM and the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. I'm Bob Mann. This program is broadcast on 89.1 FM, and then it's archived at www.njhumanities.org. And you can go to that website to find out about all of the interesting things which are done by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities, as well as hearing archives of Humanities Connection. One of the many things I love about hosting this program is that I find out about things that are not very far from my home, which are absolutely fascinating, things I never heard of before. One is a place called Grounds for Sculpture. You're going to find out about the place, but also about a program which is being funded by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. It's an action grant of $20,000 to create an in-gallery programming space that explores the narratives of African-American women. It's supported by a scholar in residence. She's one of our guests here on this segment, and it will serve as a platform for facilitated discussion, reflecting, and sharing. And on the phone right now is Heather Brady, Director of Education and Engagement for Grounds for Sculpture, Dr. Cassandra Jackson, who is that scholar in residence, and on a regular basis. Dr. Jackson is professor of English at the College of New Jersey, and also joining us is Patricia Matos, who is an executive assistant for Grounds for Sculpture. Let's start it off with Heather. Again, as I say, we're here in North Jersey where our radio home is, and we broadcast into New York City. Hamilton, New Jersey, down in South Jersey, is not that far. What exactly is the place called Grounds for Sculpture?
That's a great question. So Grounds for Sculpture is a 42-acre sculpture park. At any given time during the year, we have approximately or more than 270 works on view. We also have 6 indoor galleries here where we rotate special temporary exhibitions. And as our mission says, really what we are is a place dedicated to combining art and beckoning spaces to welcome, to surprise, to engage our visitors in the artist's act of invention.
Let's talk, though, a little bit about this particular grant. Dr. Jackson, Narratives of African-American Women, that's pretty broad. What exactly are you dealing with here? Are you talking about art, literature, sculpture? Where is this going when you're talking about narratives of African-American women?
Well, I think the story that actually grounds and centers the exhibit is a specific narrative of an African-American woman, and that's Harriet Tubman. And so she operates as a kind of jumping-off point, right? Because her story is one that is about the history of African-American women, the history of African-Americans in this country, but it's also the story of hope and triumph, right? And so that's sort of our jumping off point, the story of Harriet Tubman. And so this isn't just about her story, right? But it is about sort of the kinds of stories that inspire us. And that is very much about, right, the history of African-American women in this country.
When you look at Harriet Tubman specifically, what are some of the things that everybody's heard the name, but what are some of the things we may not know about her life, her work, and her legacy?
Most people don't know that she was a spy for the Union Army.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes, she was. Most people don't know. And that she ended up playing a huge role, in part because she could operate as a double agent. She was willing to go into spaces where there were enslaved African-Americans, and she could do it unnoticed because she would go there pretending as if she were just one of the slaves. And she was able to gather information that made the Union Army successful. It allowed them to get into spaces that they could not have gotten into without her willingness to go into places where she could have been enslaved herself. Remember, she spent her life as a fugitive.
Right. I mean, to think of the exposure, you're walking right back into the lion's den. That's that's tremendous sacrifice, and that's wonderful. Now, before we began this interview, Cassandra, you mentioned to me that you're in a little bit of a different role here because very often a place like Grounds for Sculpture might have an artist in residence, but as a scholar in residence, you're really in the role of someone who shares information and someone who is a facilitator. Give us the scholar in residence role here in this particular project.
So this is an opportunity of a lifetime for me, just because most of the time as a scholar, you're on the outside looking in, right? You're trying to figure out what artists are doing. You're not usually the person who's always in conversation with those artists. And you certainly don't get to enter actual maker spaces and see artists work. So one of the most sort of profound moments I've had in this process was sitting down with the artist and her actually handing me her work, right? And which has said something about Joy Scott's work, the fact that it is something that can be handled in that way, in that she also has jewelry pieces, small pieces, as well as sort of large pieces like sculpture. And so this has been an opportunity for me to kind of enter a maker space, right, to become someone who's in conversation with that process. And that's something that scholars don't usually get to do. We're usually on the outside writing about it. The idea of sitting down with somebody who's doing the beadwork in front of you is amazing.
Let's just talk a little bit, Heather, about a program timeline. Our initial broadcast is in January of 2018, and we're reaching into the five boroughs of New York City as well as North Jersey, and then we'll be at njhumanities.org after that. We also repeat programs in the summertime. So give us a timeline that would deal with both our audience with the initial broadcast and those who could be hearing this 6 or 8 months down the line.
So for those who are listening to the initial broadcast, I'm excited to be able to say that the exhibition that this Action Grant project is centered around, Joyce J. Scott's Harriet Tubman and Other Truths exhibition, will be on view here at Grounds for Sculpture through April 1st. So if you're listening at the end of January, now is the time to make a plan, make a date, and come on over to see this incredible exhibition and participate in some of the programs that the New Jersey Council for Humanities is so generously also supporting, which are all sort of housed under an umbrella called Common Thread. So if you go to our website and you're curious about this exhibition and Harriet Tubman and the stories that Dr. Jackson was just talking a little bit about, look for Common Threads on our website to learn more. That said, if you are hearing about us for the first time in the summer, when this program again airs, summer is an amazing time to visit Grounds for Sculpture. In fact, summer is spring, summer, and fall are sort of our high season. We have, as I said, 42 acres outdoors to explore, to look at the art we have, our horticulture collection. And also all throughout the year, and particularly in the summer, programs for people of all ages and every ability, so hands-on art-making workshops, outdoor film screenings, outdoor concerts in the summer, so many different things to do at any time of year. So whether you're hearing this, again, in the winter or in the summer, we hope you will come and visit.
And just in terms of the what we call in broadcasting the evergreen aspect of this, Dr. Jackson, which would be people learning more about Harriet Tubman, even beyond this particular thing we're promoting here in January of 2018 initially, films, books, biographies, what are some of the things, obviously, people, you know, are not going to immerse themselves to the point of becoming scholars themselves, but to find out about this amazing American life?
There's some interesting places to start, and there are a number of, actually, biographies that you could take a look at about Tubman's life. I do really want to encourage people to come to the exhibit as a beginning, in part because we actually have some pieces that you will not be able, in some cases, to see again. There's one sculpture of Tubman on site that is going to disintegrate on the spot. It's changing every single day, right, because it is made of earth and other kinds of natural materials. And one of the things that, you know, the artist said about why she wanted that sculpture to disappear is because in many ways we've sort of forgotten the legacy of Harriet Tubman. As you pointed out, we know the name, right? But at the same time, what do we actually know about the figure? What do we know about the legacy and the hope that she's represented, right, for so many African Americans? One of the biographies that I would recommend, though, would be James A. McGowan's book on Harriet Tubman, which is a biography, which would be a great place to start. And one of the things that people might want to take a look at is, and they can Google this, but there's a much more recent photo of Harriet Tubman that has emerged over the last year. And I think that many people would be interested in seeing it because most of the photos that we have seen of her have been photographs of her at the end of her life. And it is a photo that allows us to imagine what this woman who crossed those lines into Southern territory actually looked like at the time that she would have been doing it.
And we haven't had a chance to talk with Patricia yet, and I understand that you really do a lot dealing with the local community around Hamilton Township in Mercer County, New Jersey. Tell us a little bit about the role that you've played in all of this.
Sure. I'd be glad to. So I had the pleasure to work for local government for a time and also be civically engaged. So I know quite a lot of people in this particular area. And one thing that I know is there are a lot of makers and a lot of artists in the area who don't get a lot of attention in this particular area. A lot of these people travel to New York or travel across the country to be able to perform or present their work. And what I wanted to do is create more opportunities for these individuals locally. So through this, we had the opportunity to invite local artists and performers to narrate the exhibition through their eyes and help us to be able to bring together programming that can provide a space for celebrating, can provide a space for contemplation, and also a space for healing around the Joyce J. Scott exhibition. So I can talk very briefly about three of those programs, though there are many. And if you're interested, you can always look on our website and register for the programs through either our website, or you can always look up the programming through Facebook. Again, they're under the Common Threads programming. But just to give you an example, we wanted to create a space for celebrating because a lot of people don't understand, or we've done a really bad job of educating people that Black history doesn't start with slavery. So we wanted to make the connection to Africa. So with that, we have West African dance and drumming classes. We also wanted to provide a space for contemplation and reflection. So we actually have Life Stories of Harriet Tubman, which is basically storytelling from a first-person perspective. And the person who's actually telling the story is a relative, a descendant of Harriet Tubman. Her name is Louise Davis. And we also wanted to be able to provide a space for healing. And in March, we're going to have a series of yoga workshops. And it's important to have a series of yoga workshops to be able to provide that space for people to really absorb the exhibition and absorb the information that the exhibit presents and to be able to internalize it, reflect upon it, and heal.
That's great. We only have 2 minutes left in the segment, and one of the things, Heather, that I had mentioned to you before we came on the air is I don't want to turn you into a GPS, but, you know, we have a little bit here in northern New Jersey and New York City, where the radio station is, a lack of knowledge about southern New Jersey, and you hear Hamilton, New Jersey, go, well, I don't know where that is. But it really, you told me, is not that far. So our listeners in the five boroughs and counties here in North Jersey, like Bergen, Passaic, Morris, Essex, and Hudson, really don't have a daunting task to get down to you.
They sure don't. So we're really in central Jersey, as you said, in Hamilton. And depending on where you're coming from, I mean, really, we're talking about a 75-minute trip, whether by car, whether coming by train. That's about what it's going to take, which is not that long. So in both cases, whether you're driving and you get on the turnpike and you end up on 95 and then 295, I'm not a GPS. I'm not going to give you all the turns and stops. But I'll just say that the minute you get off those major roadways, we are just minutes off of 295. And the same thing is true if you want to use New Jersey Transit. You're going to take New Jersey Transit to Hamilton. And again, we're about 5 minutes by taxi, by Uber, by the local bus from that Hamilton stop. So really easy in either case. And for more information on our on how to get here, you can just visit our website at groundsforsculpture.org, and there you'll also find all of our links to other social media, you know, sort of networks and sites.
That's great. And I want to thank all three of you, Heather Brady, Dr. Cassandra Jackson, and Patricia Matos, for being here to talk about Grounds for Sculpture. That's it for this episode of Humanities Connection. I'm Bob Mann. Thank you very much for listening. This program is initially broadcast on WFDU 89.1 FM, and then it's archived at www.njhumanities.org. You can go to that website not only to hear archives of our program, but to hear about all of the fascinating programs that are being run throughout the state by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities.